Well, it's time for Impromptu on WFMT, and I look through the glass to our host, Kerry Frumkin.
Thank you, Robbie. We are, in fact, in the Levin Performance Studio for this Impromptu, which is supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, the Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture. It's also supported by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fun Art Circle. And for this afternoon's live Impromptu, we have with us the young cellist John Henry Crawford and his collaborative pianist Victor Santiago Asuncion. John, we should mention, will be performing Haydn's C major cello concerto with the Highland Park Strings at Highland Park High School, on December 11th at 3 p.m. Today he'll be performing music of David Sanford, Poulenc, Gershwin, and to begin, Chopin. Chopin, of course, wrote mostly for his own instrument, the piano, but he also wrote some very fine music for the cello. This piece, the introduction, and Polonaise Brillante being one of them. He was inspired to write it for an amateur cellist, the Prince Antoni Radziwill, whose daughters were Chopin's piano students. The 19-year-old composer described this work as a brilliant drawing room piece. Most of the action originally took place in the piano part, but in this arrangement by cellist Leonard Rose, the cellist manages to get a good number of bravura technical moments as well. So here then are cellist John Henry Crawford and pianist Victor Santiago Asuncion to open this Impromptu with Chopin's Introduction and Polonaise Brillante, Opus 3.
Thank you.
cellist John Henry Crawford, pianist Victor Santiago Asuncion, and music of Chopin, the introduction and Polonaise Brillante, Opus 3, written by Chopin in 1829. This is a live impromptu from WFMT featuring these two fine artists. And welcome to both of you. John Henry, you know, as I listen to you, I understand what all those reviewers have been saying about you with respect to your singing tone. And, of course, that's, I think, what every instrumentalist should strive for. And is that, in fact, what you think about as you play?
Certainly, in certain places and passages that require a singing sound, I try and strive for that. That's very kind of you to say. absolutely, I think, you know, the cello is a singing instrument, and a lot of the most beautiful tunes have been written for the cello, and so to try and convey that singing sound is something that I'm constantly trying to strive for.
Are there, in fact, cellists that you greatly admire or mentors that you've had over the years that have inspired that sort of thing in you?
Certainly. To pick any one favorite would be unfair. I admire, you know, all the great cellists living today and not living in the past. And my teachers throughout the years have always tried to instill that in me. Andres Diaz, Carter Bray, Peter Wiley, Hans-Jürgen Jensen, and Christina Vascajas, who's my first teacher. They all have tried to instill in me this idea of going for singing and a vocal quality in my playing. So that's something that's nice to aim for.
Right, indeed. And in fact, in this next piece we're going to hear, this is really an example of you singing out all on your own. And it's a very powerful piece by contemporary composer David Sanford, having to do, at least tangentially, not so tangentially really, with 9/11. Why don't you tell us the story behind this?
Well, this piece was commissioned by cellist Matt Heimowitz very soon after 9/11. And the piece itself is kind of told from the point of view of four different perspectives, a cantor, a street musician, a jazz visionary, and or a concert cellist or saxophonist or what have you. And all four of these perspectives have a different tone in them and a different sort of mood. But basically the underlying theme is that, you know, while this catastrophic event is happening, what else can the musician do but continue to play on and to continue to reflect what's happening through their performance and their sound? And it's kind of an outcry. It's a very visceral piece, and there's a lot of you know, angst to it. But it's a really powerful piece as well. And whenever I've played it for audiences, they respond greatly to it. It really conveys the whole atmosphere of what was going on very powerfully. And it's a very special piece, I think.
Now, the jazz saxophonist you meant is a very specific jazz saxophonist by the name of John Coltrane. And in fact, I think the piece was influenced by A Love Supreme.
It was modeled after A Love Supreme. And it models the four movements of Love Supreme. And it's interesting because when I first was learning this piece, I was, you know, listening to John Coltrane's Love Supreme quite a bit to try and, you know, get that sort of feel for how the piece goes. And there are parts of it that mirror a lot of, you know, these saxophone kind of riffs or solos or what have you. And it really has a lot of that feel to it. And, you know, I try and think a little bit while I'm playing this piece as if the cello is a saxophone, and which is something I've never thought about before, but it brings an interesting light to the piece.
Shall we hear it?
Sure.
David Sanford's 7th Avenue Kaddish.
Thank you.
Seventh Avenue Kaddish, written in 2001 by David Sanford, played for us by cellist John Henry Crawford, live this afternoon here at WFMT on this impromptu. Wow, what a powerful piece that is. Written in reaction to the events of 9/11. And as I listened to you play that, I was thinking of, you know, the intensity of sound you're getting from your instrument, and it kind of made me flash back to a comment having nothing to do with 9/11, but having a great deal to do with what a cello is capable of doing. Mm-hmm. And a comment that Lynn Harrell made to me once. He said, he was talking about how he had a few master classes and some private lessons with Pablo Casals many, many years ago. And he said, sitting next to him, listening to him play, it was like being underneath a subway. In terms of the power and the, you know, what he could get out of his instrument. Wow. And of course that piece really demands it. But it also makes me wonder about your instrument, which is pretty amazing. And I understand there's a pretty powerful story behind it.
There is. It's certainly an instrument that I'm lucky to have. It's been in our family for a very long time. And the story behind it is that my grandfather, whose name was Robert Popper, he lived in Innsbruck, Austria, on Beethovenstrasse, and in 1938, he saw the writing on the wall and escaped Hitler and escaped Kristallnacht by several weeks with this instrument and several others. And he had an American boy bike them into Switzerland and put them in this big wooden crate, and he later recovered the instruments, but he went to Latvia and Lithuania, and then he finally ended up in the States. But if this cello could talk, it would have a very interesting story to tell for sure. He played it off and on for his whole life, and it's kind of, I feel like a part of him lives inside of it as well, mm-hmm. and it was passed down to me at a certain point. But it's a special instrument, and it's kind of a family heirloom that, of course, we would never be able to part with.
Yeah, for sure. Also listening to that piece, I was thinking about your interest in contemporary repertoire, and I would assume it goes far beyond what we just heard. Is it something you really actively pursue?
It's something that I do. I enjoy a lot of the new music being written nowadays, and I try to play as much of it as I can, keeping a healthy balance between all the different types of music. But this piece especially spoke to me, and when I first heard it, first of all, I thought, oh, I'll never be able to play that because it's so wild. But spending a long time on it and listening to it a lot and really, you know, living with the piece for a while has helped. But yes, I enjoy a lot of the music that's being written nowadays, and I've been able to play works by John Adams, Joan Tower, mm-hmm. and a lot of great pieces. I also had a friend of mine write a piece for me my last year in Curtis, Katarina Kramarchuk, a piece she wrote for me that I played in my graduation recital. So it's something that I try and do as much of as I can.
Wow, great. We're going to hear music of Poulenc next, and this is a piece actually which also in a way has its origins in violent human acts. I mean, it dates from World War II, although I guess you really wouldn't know it to listen to it, right?
Not at all. It's a very jovial, upbeat piece. Lots of fun dance-like rhythms, and it's totally opposite of what you would think from a piece being written in during World War II.
All right, well, let's hear it. This is the Sonata for Cello and Piano from 1948 by Francis Poulenc. The four movements are marked Allegro, Tempo di Marcia, Cavatina, Ballabile, and Finale. And we'll hear cellist John Henry Crawford and pianist Victor Santiago Asuncion. Thank you. The Poulenc Sonata for cello and piano, completed in 1948. Played this afternoon for us by cellist John Henry Crawford and pianist Victor Santiago Asuncion. And they're going to conclude this afternoon with music of George Gershwin in just a moment. But before they do, I wanted to ask John Henry what's happening in the near future for you before the December event with the Highland Park Strings. Anything at all we can talk about?
Yes, well, I'm going to be doing, I'm here studying with Hans-Jürgen Jensen privately. He's a professor at Northwestern University. And I'm just going to be practicing a lot, preparing for some competitions and auditions and things. And then I have another, I'm playing the same program actually again back home in a little while, in about a month or so.
Back home being Louisiana?
Back home being Louisiana, right. Yes. And so that'll be another chance for us to play this. But just looking forward to a lot of practice and hard work and getting ready for things.
Well, while you're here, I hope you'll come back here.
I hope so too, yes. It's been a lot of fun being here.
Great. Now, the Gershwin we're going to hear is a prelude written originally for piano, of course, George Gershwin's instrument. But as the story goes, Yasha Heifetz once went to his friend George Gershwin and said, "Why don't you write something for a violin?" And apparently Gershwin never got around to it, so Heifetz took it upon himself to arrange the preludes for violin and piano. But we're going to hear it today on cello and piano, the Heifetz arrangement. It's the prelude in B-flat major. Gershwin's Prelude in B-flat Major, played by cellist John Henry Crawford and pianist Victor Santiago Asuncion. And bringing us to the end of this live impromptu, thank you both for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Our guests this afternoon, cellist John Henry Crawford and pianist Victor Santiago Asuncion. Mr. Crawford will be playing a concert in our area this coming December. The specific info, December 11th, 3 p.m., in Highland Park High School, and he'll be performing the Haydn C Major Concerto with the Highland Park Strings. For more information and to get tickets, you can go to highlandparkstrings.org. And by the way, if you missed part of this program or would just like to hear it again, it will soon be posted on our website, WFMT.com. Our thanks to our music producer, Joshua Sovajo, and the producer of Impromptu, Louise Frank. This impromptu on WFMT was supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoyed this live performance, please become a sustaining member today. Ongoing monthly contributions are one of the most effective ways to support the station. It's quick and easy. Become a sustaining member now by pledging online at WFMT.com. I'm Kerry Frumkin, Good afternoon from the Levin Performance Studio.